Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another in the series of Heinz Reads podcasts. Chances to chat with authors almost always brilliant, and today no exception. Susan Welch, a first-time author with a book called A Thread So Fine. So much of it set in our home area here in the Twin Cities. And Susan joins me this morning. Susan, where am I finding you this morning? I'm just curious.
I actually am on Lummi Island in the state of Washington.
Well, son of a gun. That's where you make your home now these days, right?
It is where I make my home, and I happen to be right now with my several members of my family are actually visiting. We're all originally from Minnesota.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that part of it, because that's where so much of the inspiration comes from. You were born and raised in the Twin Cities area in St. Paul, right? And you lived in Wisconsin as well as Minnesota, and you've always been a writer, but this is your first novel.
That's right. Yep.
Let's talk about the story, because the story has a connection to your birth mother and your adopted mother. And I think that's the fascinating part of it, that this is, it's referred to as historical fiction, A Thread So Fine. But I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever read so vividly described the neighborhood in St. Paul. Was that your neighborhood around St. Kate's?
You know, it really was not, but my aunt and uncle did raise their family there, so I was familiar with it as a little girl, and I remember I had carried with me throughout my whole life very vivid memories of how beautiful those neighborhoods were, you know, the College Row. I just loved it. It was very evocative for me, as well as Lake Minnetonka. I had an uncle and aunt who lived out in Lake Minnetonka, and we used to go spend part of the summers there, and I also just, you know, very strong memories.
Well, this story describes this incredible relationship between Eliza and Shannon, and their life growing up together, but then also the interruptions in their life, interrupted for tuberculosis. This was set in, what, 1946? Do I have that correct? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1946, long before I was born, actually. And as you said, the book is completely, it's historical fiction, but it is based on sort of the imaginings that I had when I first discovered I was adopted, which was only 10 years ago. I couldn't really understand my own beginnings very well, because my adoptive mother had passed away, and my birth mother, well, I hadn't met her yet. So while I was trying to figure all that out, and while I went down the sort of pathway of trying to discover my own origins, I also spent a great deal of time imagining what life was like when they were young girls, when both of them were young girls. So what I thought was kind of, it sort of took my mind off my own crazy story to sort of imagine these two women as sisters. And that's where the story kind of was created.
Well, you have a very, very descriptive style. I mean, the images that you create, especially of the neighborhood, the storm that came through the neighborhood, the tuberculosis for Shannon, and the all the aspects of that, you really just paint a very vivid picture.
Well, you know, my mother who raised me, Betty, she actually did have tuberculosis in 1946 or 47 in St. Paul, and she spent a year quarantined at I think it was Anchor Hospital, back then. And she, you know, 20 years later, when she was a mother, she told me stories about what it was like to spend a year in hospital with all these women. And I was always fascinated by that. So I wanted to delve into it more.
Yeah. The whole idea, too, of the quarantine, that was the treatment for tuberculosis. And you are taken away from everything except for occasional visits, because you get to a point where they deem it safe to allow visitors. But I think there was a belief, wasn't it, that TB was so highly contagious.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it was, you know, I don't know how actually contagious it was, but there were, right after the war in the Twin Cities and other places as well, tuberculosis and polio had really taken a pernicious hold, and people were getting it. Everybody knew somebody who had one or the other. And so, you know, yeah, I think there was quite a lot of fear. And, my mother, Betty, she sort of had the list of people, you know, separated in her mind, those who came to visit her and those who didn't. You know, she remembered it her whole life.
Oh,
it was quite an ordeal. She was so young. She was 19, I think, and she was in the adult ward. You know, I think they had some wards for children and some for adults. And at 19, she fell into the adult ward, but she was still quite young. So it left a huge impression on her, of course.
Yeah, I would absolutely do that. Well, you bring so much of that forward in the book, because that's a big part of what shaped Shannon's life, you know, forever. I mean, putting her college on hold interrupting plans, but that had an impact, a lifelong impact on her.
Man, it really did, and it made her both resilient, but also somewhat fragile, and it sort of set her course. She believed things about herself and her scars and her inability to have children that really impact the choices that she makes, and she makes some pretty dramatic choices, of course, in the years thereafter because of that, right? And you know, yeah, she was a very interesting and wonderful character to sort of delve into.
And yet, but Eliza just seems to be, I don't know what the word is, like, well, maybe the adult in the room, and maybe it's because she didn't have, the disease, the illness to deal with at the time.
She just happened, you know, Eliza is the younger sister, but she's also the more, you know, the more outward one, the more confident one, the one for whom everybody in the family felt that life would be charmed. And of course it isn't so charmed. She has her troubles, and she leaves home, and you know, she's really rather she has real struggles in life. But ultimately, that there's a very, very strong bond between the sisters that Eliza almost wants to forsake, but Shannon refuses to do so. So that's I liked the idea that a sister who is perceived to be the strong one and the one who is going to do better is actually maybe the one who becomes more vulnerable because of life circumstances.
Yeah, and then of course with their own, you know, relationship. And I'm very curious about Nell. Nell is, of course, their mother. I'm very curious about her because she has this terse sort of, I don't know, stern demeanor to her, and appears to not be warm at all. Tell me about that character.
You know, I think Nell would want to be in another lifetime, but she had such a damaged childhood that as she finds her own family, she just cannot call up that trust and that warmth in her maternal, you know, in her maternal reality. She's too scared, actually. She's too worried that things that bad things will happen. And, you know, some of that has happened to her, so she, you know, she has some bearing in that reality. But it's kind of unfortunate. I think she always wishes throughout the book and that she could be warmer, or that she could be more more maternal. It just isn't in her, which is interesting. I mean, I've met people, you know, who just they carry their scars with them, even though they don't talk about them, or maybe because they don't talk about them ever. You know, they keep them buried and hope that it doesn't show through, but it does in other ways. And I think that's the case with Nell. Her husband, Fa, loves her dearly, and I think he sees through it. But and he knows that she loves her children. She just isn't able to sort of be that warm, fuzzy, grandmotherly mother that you know we sometimes wish we had.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because there was somebody like that in my family, and I'll just leave that at that point there. So, but the girls together. And you, as you mentioned, Shannon refuses to let, you know, the bond go. And but this is a book that is just a great. Well, I think I read somewhere, you know, if you're looking for a good summer read, but you can read it anytime because it's a great one just to curl up with. And I say that as one who normally is reading like thrillers and stories along that line. This is altogether different. It's a different genre. And how much of this is you? Are you more Eliza or are you more Shannon?
That's such a good question. I think I'm probably more Eliza. I was when I was raised in my adoptive family, I was the middle child. I was the oldest sister, and I was really the more outward one, and thought I had it all together. You know, really, you know, ready for the world at 17 years old or so, I thought. And I think, you know, Eliza feels that way until things happen. So yeah, I think I'm probably a little bit more Eliza, but I just adore Shannon. I just really, it's a, sort of a quirky girl who, you know, was generally getting in trouble and didn't make good choices and, you know, had a childhood where she felt a little bit awkward. Yeah, she was a neat character.
Well, whoever selected the cover photo for A Thread So Fine picked out a good one, because that's, you know, who I'm seeing and reading when I'm reading A Thread So Fine. And it's a great story. This, as I mentioned, is your first such novel. Are you working on another one?
I am framing out a possible second book that's based upon Miriam, who is, of course, the younger character that emerges in 1948, but really comes into the story in the 60s. So that's a possibility. And I love that you comment on the photo, because I also just love the cover. I worked with a local book designer here in Seattle on that, and she was absolutely wonderful to work with. And, you know, we both kind of felt like we had found Shannon and Eliza in the old photograph drawer.
You did. Yeah, you definitely did. The story, you know, is quite a journey through their lives and quite a journey through time. But yet A Thread So Fine, it maintains. And when you get to the understanding of exactly what that reference is, you'll really appreciate it. Susan Welch, congratulations. It's a good book. Thank you so much for chatting with me just a bit about it here. And I'll look forward to reading more from you.
Thank you so much, Don. It was a pleasure talking with you.
You have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.